You're listening to the What's the Fuzz podcast, where we break you out of your vacuum seal and get down to what's real. Never miss another episode again. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And now, your host, Reiner.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show, new listeners, old listeners, and accidental clickers. Please don't click. It's July 19th, 2020, and I've almost lost my entire conception of time. No joke. Before we get into the interview today, I'll start off with the preamble. Black lives still matter, and the protests have not stopped. Though we may not all be able to go out there on the streets right now, you can still do your part in your communities. Case in point, a continuous flow of racists have been outed in the furry community. Whether it's the person apologizing or the furries in the comments going, "I forgive you, it's okay," we need to work together to kick that shit out, burn it, and extinguish it. In some cases, I truly believe that we can change someone's mind about these things. Like young people, you know, around 16 or whatever, that don't understand systemic racism or what we're doing to people at the borders, etc. That's why when you're seeing furries out there on some goofy shit, you call them out on it. Send them some What's the Fuzz, preferably the first episode. And one last thing. Here's how to tell if they're sincere. If they're explaining why they did the thing, and they only realized what they did is wrong because of the call out, and they used verbiage like, "I'm listening to BIPOC voices, I'm learning," whatever it is, and it's more about them than the apology itself to the people that they hurt, and they're not taking action, and they choose to retain negative peace rather than taking the turning point to be vehemently anti-racist. Tell them to walk that shit back. Tell them to try again and do some research and spend some real time reflecting on how they're part of the problem, on what they can do to change it. Anyway, tonight I'm joined by Ghazi.
Hey, how's it going? Pleasure to be here.
Hey, it's nice to meet you, man. I've been following you for a bit now. You've been doing some cool stuff out there.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of the last two-ish months. But I appreciate it. Everything's been going well. I've been certainly having a time. I don't know if it's been a good time, but it's been a time.
Hey, I feel you there, man. If you guys aren't familiar with Ghazi, he's a graphic designer, and you can hit him up on Redbubble under Ghazi Goods. That's GOZIGOODS. And you can follow him on Twitter at Lightskin Tiger. He calls people out for saying whack-ass shit all the time, releases updates on his art, and does other cool stuff. Seriously, like, check him out. To start the interview off today, I want to start you off with an icebreaker question. Is that okay?
Yep. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
All right. Gotcha. So would you rather deal with someone who is dangerously ignorant or dangerously apathetic?
I'd honestly probably rather deal with someone who's dangerously ignorant.
What's like, that?
I don't know. I guess I know how to deal with somebody who is way more outwardly doing these bad things. Even if they can't see how wrong it is, I could see them for it, and I can know to either A, not interact with them at all if I have the option to, or if I don't have the option to and I have to work with them in like a work or a school type setting, I can adjust myself. I can't tell if somebody is just apathetic a lot of times, but I can tell if somebody's ignorant. And just for my sake, I would rather know if somebody's ignorant and work with that than not know if somebody's just completely apathetic.
I gotcha. So it's better to have like a warning sign so you don't have to deal with their mess if you don't want to.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, you know, apathetic person, they know what's going on, they just don't care. So it's like wasting your time either way.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Awesome, awesome. Now we get on to the meat of the interview. So on being a furry, what got you interested and invested in the furry fandom in the first place? Do you feel like it's a big part of who you are?
I don't know if it's a big part of who I am. I could say, I'd certainly say that it is a part of who I am, but I don't know if it's necessarily a huge part. So in terms of like how I actually got into the fandom, So I just said I'm a graphic designer, and I work a lot with logos and photo manipulations on things like Photoshop. So I'll look up certain things. I'll look up certain animals in which I'm trying to recreate something. And, you know, occasionally you will see somebody's post on Fur Affinity, or, you know, a picture of somebody's persona. If you look up something, like Golden Tiger, you're going to find something if you scroll down far enough.
Oh yeah. So it was only a matter of time.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, it essentially over time, I became more and more inundated. Like I saw this stuff. I've been a graphic designer for kind of ever since I was a teen. So, and before that, I was still pretty internet savvy. So you spend enough time on the internet, you're going to eventually see it. So, grew up, I still knew about it, kind of got into college. And then, you know, I kind of sat and thought about it. Like, I saw it more and more, and I was like, you know what, let me give it a shot. And, you know, hey, it's worked out decently enough for me. There's obviously been some downsides, but, you know, hey, I've met some really cool people, people that have really, you know, made me rethink and reshape who I am and what I stand for. So that's kind of something that's really benefited me since I've been in the fandom. But I've really only been active for about a year and a half at this rate, which is kind of wild.
Oh, wow.
But I've met some really, really good people and had some really good experiences.
That's crazy, because you've only been at this for like a year and a half and you're already tearing shit up?
The thing is that obviously I didn't come from, well, I'm not going to say come from, but, you know, I don't have what's seemingly a traditionally furry background. So, like, my thoughts are going to be way different than what might be some of the other thoughts, or some of the pervading thoughts from the internet. Oh, well, not the internet, but, you know, in general furry culture. So, like I said, I'm not going to say conform, but, you know, like when I enter a space, like I want to make sure that it's a space that is good for me, and like I can say the stuff and I can do the stuff that, you know, I feel as though is right. So if you want to say me coming in there and just starting tearing stuff up, you know, sure. sure you could say that. But I just have a different mindset and different view than a lot of people who've traditionally been in the fandom. And the good thing is that I know that there's people who do agree with me, and there's only going to be more coming in.
So when you say furry culture and your ideals, what ideals do you hold that are in opposition to those held by the greater amount of the furry fandom?
There's really not a ton of difference. Like, obviously, I stand for, you know, people being whoever they want to be. Issues of equality. I obviously lockstep with that. But I guess it's kind of just the aspect of furry culture that I do kind of feel I don't really like is something that I've kind of learned about. This is, it's this thing called toxic positivity. I'm a naturally positive person. Like, I like to see the good in everything. I like to be the guy that the motivation guy, the guy's like, yeah, let's do this. But, you know, I've seen positivity be used in a way in the fandom in which it's used to hide and like shelter things that, you know, really shouldn't be sheltered, you know, things like racism. You've seen a lot of stuff that's been happening, in which, you know, people will try to call these things out, but then they get shut down because there's a group of people. Well, I'm not gonna say a group of people, but there are people that will go out of their way and say, you know, hey, like, why are you talking about this? You know, I thought we were all one big happy family. And the thing about that is that we don't bring these things up and say, hey, we have to change this because we don't like where we're at. If we didn't like where we were at, we would just leave. the reason why we do these things is because, you know, we genuinely care. Like, we genuinely care. We genuinely want to make this place better for everyone.